You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Jeff Walker, Fight Mons.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. And for the first time in 70 days, 7-0, the Washington Commanders got a dub. For the draft pick crowd, you're nuts. Four games left in the NFL season is an entirety. I mean, it's probably like 22% of the season. That's just not how the league operates. You want to focus on draft picks. Get to week 18. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, for the draft pick crowd, you know what the Saints are doing? They're playing good football all of a sudden. The Saints are going to end up with like the 11th pick. Like, it's just too early, man. There's too many other moving parts. The worst team in football is by a mile, the Raiders. They're going to end up with the one seed. Like, just chill with that. And yesterday, Brian, was hardly like a perfect football game. Two fourth quarter fumbles is pretty
not good.
I mean, yesterday was two bad teams, and one of them was a little bit better.
The first half was great. I liked the first half. That second half, listen, bro, I don't understand why you feel you have to change what was working in the first half. Bill was gutting them.
Put the ball on the ground, I think, is why they probably went to J-Mac. But then J-Mac put the ball on the ground.
Listen, bro, some things gonna happen, but you gotta, like, you can't just adjust. If it was just because of the ball on the ground, if I hadn't seen all year, I would take the ball on the ground. But all year, whoever was running in the first half, do not run it in the third quarter.
Yeah.
That's a problem, man. That got to change.
Yeah, it was listen, man, it was hardly a perfect game. The weather was crazy. It was freezing cold. From what I understand, it must be freezing cold all across the country. Because I think in Kansas City, it was like 6 degrees. I talked to my boy last night. So I was driving home and just kind of like know some of my friends that are night owls, just like trying to talk to somebody.
Could have called me. I was driving too.
I learned that this morning. The stretch of the drive that I think is the worst is like the top of Maryland. because that's just like where it's real dark and quiet. Like once you get to Baltimore home, you're Gucci.
I mean, once you cross that bridge,
the
right
Tidings
there?
Bridge. The Tidings Bridge until you kind of hit the Baltimore Beltway is where it gets real snoozy.
I have marks that mean things I look for. So you're riding, and then you come to the Maryland House. Then you look over to the right, and you got Ripken, his little baseball thing.
Yep.
Then you come up on, what is it? It has, I can't think.
The fly zone?
No, it's a golf course back up in there right before you get to Baltimore. Mountain Branch, I think it might be.
I'll take your word for it.
Maybe Mountain Branch Golf Course. So I get in that area where I know that exit, boom, and then you start rolling right at 695. So I'm always looking at those things. And for me, I can tell you this. So we were riding me, Ryan, Yoakum.
Oh, Yoakum rode with you too?
Santana. It was four of us. Santana woke up. He said, damn, we back already? I don't play on the road, dog.
I roll with
18 wheelers, bro. If they riding 90, I'm with them.
Last week we talked about driving is not that bad. And you were like, Jay, you're crazy. I'm going to catch this flight. And then what happened? Your flight was just
My flight got delayed. So I'm like, hell, I'll drive. You know, because I'm not going to sit in the airport for 5-6 hours.
I wonder, I'm curious for a lot of like the other media that were up in the press box were supposed to get on like a 9 o'clock train. And then all of a sudden,
a lot of the trains were getting.
The train got delayed till like 1 in the morning.
I looked at the trains and everything was delayed or it was just wiped off the board. So I'm like, you know.
I mean, there was snow and ice. Like, I can see for trains, especially.
Okay, snow and ice. But guess what? There's snow and ice on the roads, too, right? So the roads were cleaned up. Why can't they clean up the damn track?
That's a fair question. I don't know.
You know, and that track, I guarantee that train is way heavier than a car.
Yeah.
And that train is coming. It's going to crack. Whatever's on the track is not going to be there. So we were in the shuttle going from the rental car place to our cars before that flight that we were supposed to catch was even boarding.
Yeah. And then by the time you deal with, like, I mean, for me, I had a show at 9, go watch All Ears on YouTube, and then I was in my car, like, I was on the turnpike by 9:45. I had to stop for gas.
Yeah, you were behind me. I was rolling.
I had to stop for gas. I was in my house by like 1:30. Like time, I made, it was easy. And dude, people can say whatever they want. Like those players riding the 8-game losing streak and then seeing the Giants just, that's a poorly coached outfit. Like that is just, they do not play winning football. Mm-hmm. And Washington had to win that game. They did win that game. They sure as hell made it interesting late. The turnovers are just troublesome, but they needed. I talked to a player in the locker room. This was off camera, no microphones, no nothing, just chatting. And I was telling him, I was like, dude, you know, the question I keep getting from people is, does DQ still have this locker room? And I said, I was like, I've been in enough bad locker rooms late in the year and lost seasons where the guys just aren't there. They're mm-hmm. not. They're not all cohesive, and I can tell that it's different. And the response I got was, "He's like, bro, we're 3-10, and when we found out we had a full padded practice on Thursday, that's when you know if you still got the locker room. Full pads, cold as hell. Everybody went out there, and we had the best practice we've had in months. And like that is a testament to what." The staff, dude, we can criticize the staff. There's undoubtedly been mistakes and you know, head-scratching decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to keep a team together at 3-10, to get a win on the road, in the snow, in 15 degrees, in the division, it says something about what they're building. And DQ likes to talk about the brotherhood. And
it does.
That stuff matters, dude.
It matters. And I think, listen, man, the thing of it is, I really believe we spend too much time on the thoughts and the opinions of people that have probably never dealt with team-oriented things in their lives. They just want to poop on everything, okay? And I think when you start looking at stuff, you knew it. Like you and I talked about it last week with before Cotton. We both have said it the whole time. He hasn't lost the locker room. And Sam was basically, nah, man, he has it. you just watch how people respond to him. You know, when a person is not really dealing with you or into the locker room, believe me, I mean into the coach anymore, you know that. You definitely know it. You don't have to go searching for that.
Totally. And I think the other part of this, and I think you and I are in the same boat on this, there's going to be significant introspection on what went wrong this season. What do we need to do? How do we need to fix it? And I think there are significant fixes ahead. I think they need to make significant moves, right? I think you got to get younger. You got to get faster. I think there will be coaching movement on the staff this year. Generally, NFL assistant coach contracts are 2 years. Sometimes they're three, but a lot of times they're two. So this will be a lot of contracts will come up for a lot of assistants. Mm-hmm. You already saw a pretty big move in season with Joe Witt getting demoted from defensive coordinator. Like, you wonder, I don't think DQ wants to be calling defenses. You wonder if they're going to bring somebody in. You wonder what happens with Cliff. I continue to look at Cincinnati and wonder what will happen with that Bengals job if that opens up. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a million things that will probably – last offseason, everybody wanted to stick around because they thought they were ring chasing, right?
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to go anywhere. All the vets wanted to come back, et cetera. I don't know that it's going to look the same this offseason.
It won't. Listen,
however, man, what I do think, though, I don't think DQ's getting fired. I never did, even riding the 8-game losing streak. I don't think AP's getting, like,
I don't even entertain those things right there.
Right, but my point is, everybody's coming back. And if everybody's coming back on the high level, you need to turn it around and show, all right, fellas, let's try to win two of these last three. And just to allow them not to have the questions seep in for the players that are going to be back, for the long-term pieces. Like, damn, we really finished the season losing 11 in a row? Like, this stuff matters locker room.
But I think the players that go out there and practice, I listened to Von Miller talk maybe about a week or two ago, and he talked about how they had practice. See, players know what work they're putting into it. We as fans and media, if we don't see a win, we don't believe what you say. But they know what they're doing. And sometimes you can go through a week of practice, 2 weeks of practice, and stuff is perfect. And when you get on that game, it just does not come out. And you can't understand what the hell is going on, but you go back out there the next week and you do it again. And you're like, damn, why is this not translating? Then all of a sudden, a certain play or just something clicks. And he begins to go for you. Yesterday, watching him, McNichols, first fumble in his career. That's a hell of a stat right there. You know, I'm like, why you have to do it at this time? You could have waited another three years or so. But the big play from Lane yesterday, watching the way Marcus played. Hey, Terry, four chances, three of them for 69. You got to find a way to scheme up some stuff for Terry McLaurin. I don't give a damn what people say about open receiver this. We go through our offense. You find a way to get the ball to him more often than not, because that dude makes damn plays. Point blank.
Crazy stat last night. Mariota threw for 211. That's fine. Not great. Not terrible. On 10 completions.
Yeah.
I mean, there were honestly, before they hit the 50-yarder to Terry,
the pass game
looked terrible in the whole second half.
But the Terry pass and the center pass. But right before that pass play, this is the great thing about watching the game with Santana. I guess we both bounce off each other. He was like, look at that cornerback. He asked him for help. The cornerback was trying to look at the safety and said, I need help, because he knew Terry was going there. And that, I don't know what route it was that took the safety eyes off of it. That dude was nowhere close to Terry. He knew he was about to get cooked. And when I see a defensive back acting like that, you know what it tells me? You're supposed to be throwing the ball to him more than three times, four times a damn game. You know what I'm saying? Because that defensive back, he knew all week, this dude is going to cook me. We got to stop going in the game and taking our own players out of games. When you got exceptional, let them be that.
They didn't throw much in this game.
19 times.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a lot. We've seen games with 45 pass attempts. They did try to stick with the run. Bill had 18 for 96. McNichols had 9 for 6.
It was 27.
That's 27 carries 10 of them, to the running
10
backs.
Of them with Butch got man 10 himself.
Right. 27 of the running backs. I thought Mariota was really effective with his legs in this game. But to me, by far, listen, the Terry touchdown was massive because they had nothing going, and then all of a sudden they were able to open the lead up. But the most consequential, when they opened the game wide going into halftime to get it up to 22-7, the most consequential series of plays, and this is, you talk about complimentary football, and you know what really stuck with me is when we were at the Army-Navy radio row on Friday, and we had Urban Meyer sit down with us. And say what you want about Urban Meyer, but he's one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He won 2 at Florida, 1 at Ohio State. Like, dude knows ball.
Yeah.
And he was telling us when he was ever scouting an opponent, the first thing he did was watch special teams. Because that tells you if a team is well-coached or not. Mm-hmm. If their specials are tight, they're well-coached. If it's kind of a loosey-goosey mess, then there's not ton of discipline and not a ton of... And where I think this game completely swung, and I talked to a number of players about this after the game, just because for me, if you know what you watched yesterday, where the game swung wasn't on the deep shot to Terry. It was late in the second quarter when... Washington gets backed up deep, right? And the offense kind of sputters. They end up with a – where am I at here? I'm trying to find it. So they end up first and 10. No. This is where they were deep. They end up deep in their own territory, and Tress has to punt.
Yep.
And Tress got off an absolute rocket.
Tress is a damn weapon.
Absolutely. So, but the punt he got off was so good that it flipped the field. The coverage on that punt, he punted from like his own 10 and was able to, he punted it to the 28. The coverage was so good. Revo was down there. So they have 4th and 16 from their own 17. Mm-hmm. So Tress is standing on the 10 to punt that, where he catches the snap. Let's go. 56 yarder in that wind yesterday. You saw Young Ho Koo. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw some of those misses going into that end zone. That wind was fierce yesterday. It's why you and I ended up doing television from the radio booth, right?
Yeah. And I think that was a smart decision by everyone.
The coverage was fantastic. Punts to the 28. Revo makes the tackle for -3. Giants get 1st and 10 from their own 25 with a 1:40 left. Everybody's like, oh man, this is a good opportunity for New York to go the distance here, right? Darts incomplete on 1st down, gets sacked by Von Miller on 2nd down. Then all of a sudden, 3rd and 18, Giants take a penalty because they're a bad team. 3rd and 23, it's just a little avoid disaster playbook, pass to Wandale Robinson. Then it's 3rd and 23 from their own 12. Now they're fighting the wind on a punt. The Giants punt, Jalen Lane, house call.
Yep.
Like that.
He almost housed the first one.
I know, he did. Yeah. Barely got tripped up. Oh, clearly, yeah. Credit to Izzo, because he saw the middle of their punt coverage was just weak as hell, because both of those returns were designed right up the middle.
Easiest way.
Dude, that is complimentary football. Mm-hmm. That is playing field position. That is your defense showing up and your special team showing out. Like, that's a team win that is completely independent of your offense. That is not a, all anybody wants to talk about is quarterback play and who are your receivers. They generated points right there from their specials and their defense, and then being able to sneak another field goal in just before halftime. Like, that is how it's supposed to work.
And the offense having some sustained drives and things of that nature also helps your defense out. So they played more of a complimentary game of football yesterday. And listen, I talk about special teams all the time because I understand when you have guys like Revo and Owens that are and Ballore, those guys are outstanding special teams-wise. And they can stop guys from getting a lot of yards. You have a guy like a Jalen that can flip the field. You have Tress. When you can win the special teams battle, it gives your team a better chance of winning the whole football game.
Well, and then so the Giants get the ball back, and they have a little drive going. And then Mikey's able, I mean, it was 2nd and 4 from the Washington 35. Mm-hmm. In that situation, there was still about 30 seconds left. I think the Giants didn't have any timeouts left, but they were in control. And you probably are at least getting a field goal there. I don't know. The way Kuh is kicking.
The way Kuh is kicking, you don't know.
You might be at least attempting a field goal there. Mikey's able to grab the interception and then go 55 yards.
Yeah.
So then they have 10 seconds.
That's his fourth?
Yeah, 10 seconds. First to goal from the 24. To your earlier point about generating offense for Terry, they line up two receivers wide, a back. Terry has single coverage top left.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's on the left side. Terry has single coverage. You only have 10 seconds left from the 24.
Yeah.
The whole stadium knows it's one deep shot and then we're kicking.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all know that. Marcus never looks left. He's locked in on the right the whole time. Ends up kind of firing it into double coverage, kind of just throws it out of the end zone. I don't know how you're not in his ear, because you can talk through up till 15 seconds on the play clock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, Terry single high up top. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you don't look. He had a decent pocket. Like, I don't know how that ball doesn't go to 17 there, but it didn't.
I know how it don't go, because they believe in this going through the sequence of the offense all the time instead of.
There was no sequence. It was just looking there.
Your guy is better than the guy that's checking him.
It was in a really strong sub 2 minute to end the second quarter. I still don't really understand how that shook out. But Moody, I thought Moody in this, it was like he was in a video game and it glitched for a second because he had that missed extra point and then the kick out of bounds.
Yeah. I was like, oh, man, what the hell's going on here? Because, you know, the kicker kicking the ball out of bounds to me is probably the worst thing that could happen on the football field.
But he made all three field goals. You know, I want to get into a number of – we talk about young guys, play the young guys, let them develop. I think we actually saw some of that yesterday. I think that's all pretty positive. We're going to open the phone lines up at 11 a.m. Let everybody weigh in. I'm curious. Yesterday's an interesting game because I think for a lot of people, they're going to have what is your headline coming out of that game? You know what I mean? And I'm curious what it is for a lot of people.
Mine is about time.
We'll get to it when we return. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. B, you think Joe B requested 50 as his walk-up music?
Yeah, man.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Joe is well-versed in everything,
absolutely,
dog.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're excited to talk to Joe Beninati from Monumental Sports Network, Capitals play-by-play announcer. Caps are in Minnesota tonight. Joe B., I was just in Minnesota. It's cold out there, dude.
Take your big coat.
You could say that, but when you come from Winnipeg, JP and B. Mitch, where it was, no bull, minus 25.
Whoa!
This feels like San Diego.
Oh,
well,
man.
You know what, Joe? You're ready for it then.
Minus 25, B. Mitch, in Winnipeg. There's no getting ready for that. It goes right through you. It was going right through the gloves. It was almost like acid.
Man.
It was, I mean, that's how we walked 75 yards from the hotel to the arena. It's just, that's where it is downtown in Winnipeg. And honestly, your chest, lungs, eyes, nose, mouth, they all freeze. It's preposterous. So I think it's going to be a 19 degree day here in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. So that feels sort of balmy.
Joe B, was it minus 25 wind chill or just minus 25?
So here's the fun thing, JP, is that normally Winnipeg is as windy as it gets. And when you get their temperatures there, you add on another 20 degrees negative with the wind. We were lucky it wasn't that windy. It was legitimately, I'm not sure the Fahrenheit conversion to the Celsius conversion, but trust me. Minus 20 at a minimum. And if it was breezy, you really were in big trouble. Happy to have moved on. Glad to be in St. Paul, Minnesota today.
Damn, man. Anytime Minnesota's warmer than where you previously were, that place is cold.
Significantly warmer, 40 degrees plus.
Joby, you talked about the weather in Winnipeg cut right through you. Well, the Jets kind of cut right through the Caps in that Saturday night game. 5-1.
The Caps had been red hot. I was at the home game against the Canes. That was a tough shootout loss, and you know, Washington had a lead late in the third period there. Now they've lost two in a row. What's happened on this little bit of skid, and how ready are the boys to get back out there tonight?
Yeah, they're sputtering a little bit. To say that, I think, is fair and true. The game against Winnipeg was not by any stretch their best effort. It's been, I would say, one of their two or three worst efforts of the entire season. First of all, I can't believe we're at game 33 tonight, but in that stretch recently where the Caps have been playing very, very well, that one stood out. You know, that's the sore thumb. And Spencer Carberry and his coaching staff, the team, they've had a couple of days to focus and refocus on some things here in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area, in the Twin Cities area. And normally this squad, the way it's been built over the last few years, normally they don't come back-to-back, clunker-to-clunker. This will be a great test for them tonight. Minnesota is playing extremely well. They're riding the high of making a major deal, and we can talk about that, I'm sure, before we're through. But for the guys tonight, what's been wrong of late, offensively not nearly clicking to the degree they did when they went on that super hot streak. And these things are cyclical. These things do catch up. But when I see the Caps play the way they did against Winnipeg, it wasn't just offense. It was defensive coverages. It was mistakes. Those were the kinds of things that mount up. And you can't do that in this league. These teams are all too good. There's no more easy 2 points on anybody's schedule. And the way the schedule has been, it feels like the Caps have been playing 3 games, 4 nights, 4 games, 6 nights, 5 games, 8 nights. Mm. Nobody's going to give you an excuse for that. Everybody has to deal with it. Washington's turn is right now to do so, and they need a big bounce-back effort tonight.
Well, their goalies, Minnesota's goalie, looking at sitting at 9-1-2, how would they have to attack him? Because, you know, sitting like that seems to be a guy who knows what he's doing.
Jesper Wallstedt. They've been waiting a while for him, Brian. His nickname for the longest time, as soon as they drafted him, they called him the eventual Wall of St. Paul. The Wall of St. Paul has put some more bricks into his effort of late. He's been dynamite, and he reminds me, and I please don't say that Joe said he was Carey Price. He reminds me of Carey Price in size and stature and the way he moves around the goal. And Jesper is highly regarded. It'll be the first time he's seen the Caps and vice versa. So that'll be an interesting sort of subplot to tonight's game. His ability to take control of games has been terrific. You know, when you think about mid-November to where we are now in mid-December and such, the Caps have been the best goal-scoring per-game team, and Minnesota's been the best and lowest goals-against-average team. So it's strength against strength tonight. Let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at this stuff. The Wild have also won 4 in a row. What is that barn going to be like tonight? I imagine, you know, correct me, I imagine Ovi only gets out to Minnesota once a year. Maybe it's twice. But, like, I imagine the kind folks of the Twin Cities will be ramped up to see the Caps.
JP, they don't call it the state of hockey for nothing.
Right.
This sport means so much here, from the grassroots level to the high school level, collegiately and pro. And with the move that they made recently, general manager Bill Guerin made the move to bring in Quinn Hughes, who's an extraordinary defensive talent. You talk about Alex Ovechkin. In the time that I've known Alex and in the time that I've watched him play in this state, this is pretty cool. I want to say he's played 14 games in this building in his life. He scored 15 goals. So he likes playing on this stage. This is one of the places that has always brought the best out of him. I remember in particular when Bruce Boudreau, the former Caps coach, was coaching in Minnesota. Alex had 3 power play goals in the same game against Gabby, and Gabby never lets him forget about it. This is one of the areas where Alex lights up, and as part of the leadership group of the team, where they've only got, the Caps only have 1 win, I want to say, in the last 4. It's up to the leadership core to get together, to come together and snap everybody out of it. Obviously, this is a place where Alex likes to take the lead.
I think we could use that. And then, you know, you've also got Tom Wilson
trying to running mate go with him.
Well, and trying to fight his way onto that Canadian national team, which is probably the most competitive in the world, I imagine.
Be careful when you say trying to fight its way on.
That's a poor choice of words. That's fair. Trying to earn a spot on the Canadian national team.
Thank you for the correction, B. Mitch.
Where is Willie's game heading into tonight?
He's been, I think, from the outset of the season, right there with Logan Thompson, 1 and 1A as far as MVPs for Washington in the first 30-plus games. Tom's got points in 8 of 11. I don't think, like I said, I don't think any of the Caps would tell you that they were at their best in the Winnipeg game. And Willie's the kind of player who, by leadership, will sit there and say, hey, fellas, follow me. And all the while, I think Tom knows there's a great deal of Team Canada scouts, management, brass that's constantly watching him, constantly watching Logan Thompson with regard to potentially playing in that tournament in February. And you know Wilson wants to, desperately so. And I think he can give Team Canada a little bit of an edge in terms of that physicality that he brings. He is an all-around player for the player who began his career. Now, what's Tom? Tom is 31 years old. He's played 13 seasons. At the beginning, he was a rough-and-tumble fourth-line guy who played maybe 8 minutes a night. Now, JP and B. Mitch, he's an all-facets player. He plays in every situation. He delivers. All of a sudden, he's your team's leading goal scorer, leading point producer, leading penalty minute guy. That kind of snarl normally is not what you would associate with Olympic play, but if it does get physical and if it does become more of a, who needs to throw the big hit to change momentum, I want Wilson on my team. And thankfully, yeah. Caps fans have had him in that position for a long time, and I hope he gets to do it to represent his country.
But the way he plays now, you know, how can he run away from that old mantra of what they thought he was? Because right now, he's not that guy unless he needs to be.
Well, I've said this, B. Mitch, from time to time, and I think I can soften my stance in recent years because most NHL fans, most coaches and managers and such now realize that Tom has been misunderstood for a long time. You know, I don't use the word goon very often, but a lot of people referred to him, and hey, that guy's just a fourth-line goon. No, you've got the wrong person there. Mm-hmm. That's not what this player is. He plays an incredibly physical game. He does, you know, does he cross the line from time to time? Sure he has in his career. He knows how to approach that line and back off of it. But when you see what he can do for you, again, in all facets, and at the same time, he's got a great sense for where the game is, in particular, inside of those 60 minutes. If his team needs a boost, he knows how to provide it, whether it be with a great defensive play, with a big hit, if he has to drop the gloves, whatever it is that he needs to do, he knows the right time to do it. He has a great sense for the temperature of this team, and I think he could only help both his own squad here in Washington, but especially when push comes to shove at the Olympics.
Do you think, the Olympics, there's no fighting, right? Like, they just, it just doesn't happen. The rules are different. The ice is a little bigger. Do you think?
Well, not bigger this year. They said it's going to be shorter.
They shrunk it.
They didn't do it on purpose. It just happened to
be. There's a little bit of an oopsie that they're talking about.
Normally, I thought they were trying to fix it, right? Yeah. It's not built
normally,
yet?
I'm not sure if they have enough time to fix it. Normally, an NHL ice surface is 200 by 85. Normally, an Olympic ice surface is 200 by 100 wide. I'm told this one in Milan is 3 or so feet short from that 200. Things will happen faster.
So it's shorter.
The NHL's just played an out-of-venue or an international series game recently on an ice sheet that's very, very similar. I don't think it's going to be the big deal that people were making it out to be. But, yes, if it's shorter and the dimensions are such, things will happen quicker, especially in the neutral zone, meaning more body contact will happen. And, again, I think that plays right into Tom Wilson's hands. If we're campaigning for Tom to be on Team Canada, a smaller ice sheet, again, favors him.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking with our friend Joe Beninati here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow Joe B at Joe B PXP. You can watch him tonight on Monumental Sports Network calling Caps Wild from St. Paul. Joe B, it's interesting. We're talking about Willie on the Canadian team, and I think there's a lot of hope and excitement that maybe LT, Logan Thompson, the goalie, could make the Canadian national team. I know enough that hockey night in Canada, those Saturday night games are a really big deal, and they're broadcast across the country, and I feel like they get ratings like Sunday night football does in the States. How much did LT not having his best performance against Winnipeg maybe impact his spot for the Canadian national team?
No, I would hope not. Again, nobody's perfect in that sense, but he's been that good this season, JP. If you look at the Capitals and you find them in the standings where they are now in third place, I think a lot of people will tell you first blush that Logan's been the most valuable player in that 32-plus games now getting towards where we are in the season. I'm not going to hold that against him. If you look at the grand scheme of things, I think he's allowed 2 goals or less 17 times. I mean, his play has been extraordinary. And I know Team Canada has noticed it. I know from specific conversations I've had with Team Canada's head coach, John Cooper, that they value Logan Thompson a great deal. I'm curious to see when they're going to make that decision and finalize it. I know Logan's on pins and needles, so is Tom. Everybody is. But if you ask me, I would say Logan has a better chance of making Team Canada than Tom does. And I don't think that a misstep on a hockey night in Canada in Winnipeg by the entire team would be held against Logan. No, his body of work, if we're going to talk about the body of work in the first 2-3 months of the season, he's extraordinary.
Couldn't it also help Willie? Didn't the dude Bedard for the Blackhawks get hurt? Wasn't he a possible Canadian national team player? You don't want somebody hurt, obviously, but
No. The forwards for Team Canada, and obviously Tom's trying to get into that mix, the forwards for Team Canada are amazing. That's where they are deepest. And the question is, do you want to bring in more flash and dash offensive players, a la Bedard or the young teenager from San Jose, Macklin Celebrini? Do you want to go more flash and dash, or do I need a guy who's 6'4", 225, who can really clean things up along the boards? They're making that decision, and they have so much offensive flair. I think they could use a little bit of that blue-collar, two-way kind of performer that Tom could be. I think Tom could be a great penalty killer for that squad. You've got so many show ponies up front for Team Canada. You do need some people who are going to get in there and do some dirty work. To me, that's Tom. So I think there's an advantage there, but I'm not picking that team. The people who are in good shape, though, because there are so many different things and different players to consider, they could field two teams and medal, I'm sure.
How much does the pressure of a looming Olympics impact regular season games? Like the Caps tonight need a win because they've lost 2 in a row and they just got trounced by Winnipeg. How much of the focus is that versus like maybe the back of their minds, man, we got this Olympics coming up in 6 weeks or whatever?
Yeah, guys, it's a great question, and I choose to focus on, you know, how quickly time flies. Like 2025 to me has gone by in 8 seconds. Before you know it, the guys are going to be playing in that Olympic tournament in Milan, and before you know it, they're going to be back on the ice, and you're not going to have any time, or very much time, it will feel like, to gain ground in the standings. And if you look at the standings, especially in the Metro, they're packed. They're very, very tight. But once we get through the Olympic break, it's going to feel like a complete sprint to the playoffs. That, I think, is going to be great for hockey fans. The excitement level is going to be through the roof for it because you're going to feel like you're just racing towards the best part of the season, which is the postseason Stanley Cup tournament. But with the way the schedule's laid out and all of a sudden going on a nearly 3-week hiatus in February, once you come back, it's going to be like, whoa, put the pedal to the metal, straight to the floor. It's going to, what do you mean? What do we mean we're at game 82? Yeah, there's not going to be a lot of time to recover. So it's a long-winded way of me for saying that now is the time for the Caps to pick it back up, find another hot streak, another good spell before we get into February's Olympic break.
How much time do they have? I mean, the guys that are playing in the actual Olympics, how much time do they have before they back on the ice getting ready to play? Like, the guys that aren't playing in the Olympics, they got a lot of time. But the ones that are actually playing, do they just – like, I'm thinking like when I'm riding the bike, you know, and we're ahead of people, we stop, we wait for them. As soon as they pull up, we're like, let's go. Like,
yeah, I wish I could tell you, B-Mitch, I wish I could tell you when the gold medal game is. It's not on my radar to know that exactly the gold medal game is February blank. I don't know specifically what day that is, but by the time you get back into it, you know, the Caps, when you look at their February schedule, it's incredibly short.
I just pulled it up, Joe. They come back, they play February 25th, 27th, 28th. Then, these stretches are crazy. They play March 7th, March 9th, March 11th, March 12th, March 14th. And this ain't hoops, load management. This is hockey, where these dudes are killing each other.
JP, it's been that way the entire season. And that's the sacrifice that the league and the Players Association, when they are both gung-ho and thumbs up to being part of an Olympic tournament, and I love it, but when you do that, the schedule gets so compressed that you're going to see an awful lot of that. Once we get past the Olympic break and the gold medal game, you're going to have every other night, every other night. It's going to be like the playoffs before the playoffs even begin.
Listen to this stretch in March. March 18th, 20th, 22nd, 24th, 26th, 28th, 31st, April 2nd, April 4th, April 5th.
Damn.
That's great. Dude,
that's tough on the body. I see. That's what I'm saying. The guys that play in the Olympics, when they get back, do they just go?
You would think, Brian, from a physical standpoint, and obviously from an emotionally charged standpoint, the electricity that goes into an Olympic tournament, you would imagine that the guys that come home, they're not asking, but these guys don't ask for nights off.
No.
These guys will not ask for a night off, but they could sure use it. When JP lays out that kind of schedule post-Olympics, you get what I mean. The league is asking an awful lot, and the players know it. They knew it going in. They knew how this would impact the schedule. Well, look at that schedule when you come back.
Wow.
And it's not like it's a cakewalk leading into it.
Nope.
Joby, where's your restaurant of choice in Minnesota? You're in St. Paul, so I don't know that area as well.
We stay on the Minneapolis side. The restaurant was the one that we love. It was beautiful again last night. Zello, Z-E-L-O, in Minneapolis, outstanding. And we've gone there two or three times. It never fails.
What does Locker get? Wings?
Locker checked out last night. He wasn't there. And by the way, Locker has company in the booth tonight. T.J. Oshie in the booth tonight, all game long.
Okay.
Oh, very cool. All right.
Yeah, Osha, say what's up, man.
We'll be watching tonight, Joe. Thanks for the time, man. Stay warm out there.
Yeah, that's good luck doing that. Take it easy.
Thanks. That's our friend Joe Beninati live in Minnesota ahead of tonight's Caps wild game. Big-time game for Washington tonight. Nobody go anywhere. Maybe we open these phones, talk a little Jaden. Doc Walker's going to join us at noon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
90s bangers all day. In a half hour, we're going to open these phone lines up for Bleep You Thursday. But right now, we're going to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV to talk to our friend, Mr. Adam Tuss, transportation reporter for, friend, for NBC4. what's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, JP, did you know that B. Mitch had over 1,000 yards returning in each of the seasons that he played for the Philadelphia Eagles?
So, B, I don't know if you know, but Tuss is a big Eagles fan. And yesterday, so I'm going to tell the whole story. So what's ironic about working in television, the absolute worst place to watch television in the world is at a television station.
Uh-huh. It's the worst.
Because there's 8 million screens and no audio anywhere in sight.
Uh-huh.
And so I see that Tuss is doing this story on RFK. On transportation options for RFK, and mm-hmm. I'm really interested in it, but I can't hear a thing. So I text him like, hey, could you do radio tomorrow? He's like, yeah, and oh, by the way, the birds are coming to town this week.
Yeah, baby, 5 o'clock Saturday, let's go.
So I knew I'd have to deal with this, and yet I wanted the information badly enough to put up with it. We'll address the elephant in the room first. Are you at all concerned about Philly's, at times, lackadaisical offense coming into Northwest Stadium?
I'm terrified. You don't know what team you're going to get from week to week as far as the offense is concerned. I will say the defense looks pretty darn good. And Mariota, thank you for getting the correct pronunciation, JP.
Hey, man.
Mariota.
Working for you, Adam.
He could have a tough night Saturday night. So we'll see.
I think you can count on Philly's defense. The offense is perplexing.
It's on and off.
But if they run the ball well, I think they can. I think that'll kind of take care of things. Are you going to the game Saturday?
So it's a little bit of a sore subject. Ooh. I want to go. My oldest daughter, my 15-year-old, I have converted her into a huge Birds fan. And we want to go, but I committed to a holiday party a long, long time ago, and I can't get out of it. And if I tried to get out of it, then my wife would be very upset with me. So I'm doing the right thing, JP.
I know that life, dude.
Oh yeah.
all right. Now that you've bragged about your Eagles, let's get to your day job. You are the transportation reporter for NBC4, which I always enjoy your stories, and I'm always asking you questions about like will Tyson's to the Legion Bridge ever not suck? Things like that. but yesterday you covered what you told me was a big meeting about the transportation options at the new RFK Stadium. Can you just tell us kind of what the meeting was and maybe what we learned?
Yeah, so a lot of good nuggets in here. This was the first time that the head of DDOT, the head of Metro, some team officials, they got together. And look, this thing's going to happen in just about 4 years, right? We're talking 2030 when the stadium is expected to open. And they're talking about, I mean, when you guys, when you think about what's there now and what it's going to look like in just a few short years, I mean, I think it's going to be mind-blowing to a lot of people. We're talking about like 5,000 to 6,000 new homes and apartments, hotels. They're talking about potentially 20,000 people that just live there that aren't, you know, commuting to there or whatever, that just live in that space.
Wow.
And then, of course, if you're talking about these huge events, I'm not sure, you know, what the stadium's supposed to hold. I think 60 to 70 or 80 around that, right? So if we're thinking about, you know, people who have to get to these game day events and stadium events and concerts and one day the Super Bowl and WrestleMania and everything else that's going to happen down there, well, it's very clear that the current infrastructure that exists at Stadium Armory is not sufficient enough. And so everyone's starting to talk about it. For instance, did you know that the Stadium Armory Metro Station right now, which serves the blue, orange, and silver lines, inside that station, there's one elevator. One. And it's old.
Wow.
And it barely works. So if you're thinking about, you know, moving people up and down, you know, Metro has a lot of elevators and escalators. There's a lot of stuff that's going to have to change. So we really heard yesterday from people about kind of these upgrades that people need to start talking about. Things like maybe even a second Metro station there. It would be over closer to Oklahoma Avenue so you could disperse the crowds. Tunnels underground that could go to and from this new station. And the Metro general manager said the most important thing in his mind, there's no connection to the red line there, obviously, because it's the blue, orange, and silver line. So you need to have some sort of rapid connection to Union Station, because you think about people taking VRE or MARC to get into the city and then having to get across town. He wants a rapid bus line that runs basically from Union Station all the way over to Benning Road so that people can get back and forth.
Who's paying for it?
Yeah.
That's a great question. I asked that yesterday, D-Mitch, and all I was told is that, look, there's going to be billions spent over there, and somebody will foot the bill. I can tell you this. Metro, when these kind of things happen with Metro, they are happy to operate the system and operate the service, but they are definitely not the ones that usually pony up the money for it. Mm-hmm. It would usually come from the district or some sort of special taxing district or something that I'm sure the DC council is going to have to work out.
Like a hotel tax. Every city I go to, I get like
what's going to happen to the armory over there? Because I mean,
the actual armory?
Yeah, that needs to be gone.
I haven't heard anything about, you know, what's going to happen with that. I just know that if for anyone who hasn't been over to RFK lately, the stadium is pretty much gone. It's unbelievable to go over there and see, you know, what's there now. And all of those parking lots, those are all going to change. I have not heard any specific plans about the armory itself, though.
I think the armory is like historic or something.
Yeah.
But I think it's also like covered in asbestos. Like, I mean, if we're starting fresh, let's start fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
RFK was historic too.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, true. I know they use the armory a lot for stuff like the Marine Corps Marathon. Like, that's where you pick up your running number and that kind of stuff. Okay.
They go pick them up from the new stadium.
Yeah, they got talking with our friend Adam Tuss, transportation reporter for NBC4, after a big meeting about transportation needs at the new RFK. I am not a transportation expert. I hold zero college degrees in it. But I know this, and perhaps my evidence is anecdotal. The notion of high-speed rapid bus lanes do not work. Like, every time I've heard of high-speed buses, it just is a mess. So whatever the Union Station to RFK plan is, like, they got to come up with something better than a bus.
So you know what's really funny about that, JP? Have something there right now, and it's running.
The streetcar, right?
And they're doing away with it. The city has literally spent so much time putting the tracks down for the streetcar, putting up the poles, putting up the electrical systems. And now they're this year or in the next couple of months, I believe, they're going to decommission the streetcars because they basically have become so expensive to operate and maintain. So it's part frustrating for me as a transportation reporter, as someone who covered that project from the beginning, and the connection is literally there right now. My guess crazy. Is that they're going to take some of the right away that the streetcar has. 8th Street Northeast will look a lot different. if they can dedicate lanes to buses and make, you know, maybe keep the stops that are there for the streetcar, but instead the buses are running. And that's what you're going to have. But I do agree with the general manager. If you don't have a connection to the red line, which is the busiest line in the metro system, and by many accounts, Union Station is the busiest station in the metro system most days, then you're going to have a big problem, because everyone trying to feed into blue, orange, silver, that's going to create a real big bottleneck. And the general manager is hoping that, he says 40%. He wants 40% of people going to this new stadium to take transit. As we all know, Northwest Stadium is not the best stadium. You get up at Morgan Boulevard, you still got like half a mile to walk. It's brutal. Mm-hmm.
Dude, so I lived in Northeast. I lived like 4th and G, basically. And when they were building that streetcar, now they're going to rip all that up?
Yeah, that's right.
That's
yeah.
So stupid.
The only thing that really got better from the entire streetcar bonanza, in my opinion, is that H Street itself, I'm sure you experienced it, JP, when you lived there. That was the bumpiest road in America, and they smoothed that out, so that was good.
Yeah, man.
I will tell you one other really kind of funny, you know, lighthearted moment from this meeting yesterday. They were asking, what kind of stadiums are you trying to model yourself after? You know, like what makes sense from like a downtown football stadium perspective? And they said, I haven't been, JP, I'm sure you've been to a lot of these. They said Minneapolis, you know, Minnesota is a good one.
That's sweet.
They said the Detroit one is a good one. They said Atlanta is a good one. They said the one that they are absolutely not modeling themselves after is the Dallas Cowboys. It's in the middle of a parking lot.
Yeah.
So, and there's no way to get to it with transit, which I thought was pretty funny that, you know, we're taking shots at the Dallas transit system.
Well, it's funny. So I'm lucky enough. I've covered every stadium in the NFL, and Texas is just its own beast. People in Texas aren't taking transit anywhere.
Yeah,
they're taking F-350s everywhere.
Yeah, they're like driving everywhere.
You got to serve the market
you're in. You go to 7-Eleven, you got to go 40 minutes.
Right, exactly. dude, my biggest question, and I've been hammering this for a while, like, if you think about where rideshare is now as a percentage of people getting to games, even as much as the situation at Northwest kind of sucks to take Uber, I bet it's still 25% of people. I bet it's a big chunk of people. I think by the time this joint opens in 2030, 2032, and as driverless cars become that much more common, I would account for massive rideshare situations. Is that on the table when they look at transportation?
Yeah, for sure. You know, Waymo is the kind of leader in the autonomous vehicle space right now. They're operating. You go out west, you see them everywhere.
Yeah,
you know,
in Phoenix, they were everywhere.
Yeah, all everywhere. You know, people in San Francisco, it's like, it's just part of the landscape now. And it's almost like a tourist attraction that people who haven't been there, they want to get in these autonomous vehicles. So they're here. The thing is, Waymo has been testing on the streets of the district, and for whatever reason, the D.C. Council has not moved forward with new regulations that would allow them to operate here. I don't know if it's because our streets are kind of funky and we got the roundabouts and the circles and, you know, we don't really know how they're going to operate here. But
or because they haven't gotten their cut.
They haven't been given the green light here. But I will say, you know, if you look at Cap One, look at Nats Park, you know, these are other examples that they were talking about yesterday of places that they actually think work really well in terms of getting everyone to take transit in different modes. There absolutely will be spaces for pickup and drop off. And especially, you know, if it's in the city, you know, right in that campus, that's ripe for. I remember the Vet, but I don't remember the old RFK because I never saw a game there. But didn't people used to like park their cars on East Cap and then walk to the game from there? Like something.
They had transit went there too.
Metro was big, but people, like, I remember my father would like park in like this dude's front yard and just give him $20. And I think there'll be plenty of like, and when you talk about the other stadiums, I mean, this year we've been in Minnesota, we've been in Atlanta. When you have an urban stadium, life kind of finds a way and people start renting out their driveway and like it kind of will work out where there'll be a lot of non-sanctioned transportation options that will emerge, I would say.
I think we'll see a lot of that. Like, yeah, when you go to like Wrigley, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's what people do. People rent out their two parking spots for $20. I mean, stuff like that will happen. But
it's going to be a little more than 20 though, Adam.
Well, probably, yeah, right? $100. $100 for the day.
So my
it's gonna be a combination of everything, I think. And like, you know, bike share and scooters and all that kind
of
stuff.
Sure, all of it. Now, I think for people coming from like northwest Washington. Like if you're coming west to east to RFK, you have a lot of options because you can go Benning Road, you can come down Florida Ave. Like even if you're coming from further south, like you can cut around the hill. Like you could try, you could go park at, you know, like you could go park, you could drive to Foggy Bottom and park and get on the Orange Line, and that's not a terrible option, right? People that are coming from the east, like that traffic on 295, like from Kenilworth Avenue all the way down kind of till you get to Anacostia, all those little bridges cutting across, like the Pennsylvania Avenue Bridge, like all of it is a disaster. What, what if anything, can they do about that?
Not much. And not much is the answer. And, you know, the funny thing is you get these like traffic rankings every year, right? You know, what spot does your city rank at as far as traffic? We're consistently in the top 10 as far as terrible traffic. And every time, every list that's pointed out, this is without a stadium. The worst corridor is the 295, DC 295 corridor is always singled out as the worst. It is always crawling. One thing that they talked about at this meeting yesterday that they really hope people do is that they drive to the end of the line metro station. So say like a Largo or, you know, you're kind of out there, you park there and then you take the train in. So I think for everyone who's used to Northwest, you know, what was FedEx Field and you had all of that parking, you're going to have to change your expectations when this new stadium comes because they don't want you driving there. There are going to be a couple of parking garages, but that is not going to be their main focus for sure. And you're probably not going to want to sit in that traffic anyway.
Yep, and just tell them, open up the waterways. You can bring, that could be transportation by boats. Baby. There we go.
Hey, who's got the paddleboard? Paddle up the Anacostia. Let's go.
Whoever thinks 295 is the worst has never tried to get through Tyson's at rush hour. Adam, thank you for the time, brother. Really appreciate it. And I hope your team loses on Saturday.
7-13 birds. Let's go. All right.
See you, buddy. Thank you very much. That's our guy, Adam Tuss from NBC4. You can give him a follow at Adam Tuss, T-U-S-S. It's going to be fascinating. We're watching what's supposed to be a new world-class stadium get built in our backyard. And there's a lot of moving parts with this thing. I can't wait to explore it. Phone lines open at 1 o'clock for Bleep You Thursday.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, and we're excited to jump on the Rude Guest Hotline and talk with Kelly in Vegas. Kelly, sorry for the time mix-up. How are you?
Hey, doing well. How are you guys?
Well, I took the Dolphins last night, so I'm not doing all that great. But it was a good weekend in general.
Well, you know, we can't be perfect. Every once in a while, the favorite does have to win.
I know you've got a lot going on with the splashdown picks and, like, all the cash people can be making. What have you noticed? I mean, you are a serious NFL gambler all over Vegas doing it all. Like, what kind of trends have you been playing this year?
You know, the reality is the good teams just keep winning. We saw it again last week. And I think there has been a big shift. So I've been in this industry for probably 15 years. I would say maybe even a little bit longer. I've always kind of been a gambler at heart. But the reality is the betting public is getting smarter. They have more access than they've ever had before. They have more knowledge than they've ever had before. And right now, the teams that are passing the eye test, the Chicago Bears, the Denver Broncos, and so forth, these teams that kind of came out of nowhere, depending on how closely follow the NFL, those are the teams that are making people money. And those are the teams that the general public wants to keep backing, where the wise guys, you know, are so old school. They're all power ratings driven. They're all analytics driven. They're betting on teams like the Browns. I just, you know, it's tough. It's been one of those interesting shifts in the industry, and I'm really trying to adjust myself because I was also one of those idiots that took the Browns on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I had Green Bay. I thought I was outsmarting Vegas, so I get it.
Are you noticing that since we got all this access, are the bettors winning more or not?
The problem is they're never going to win. And the reason why is because they do dumb things like money line parlays with 10 teams, right?
So
they
dumb.
Do things like teasing that are not advantageous, right? You can tease minus 110, right? And most books don't even offer that anymore, so you need to check your teaser pricing. They do things like tease off of key numbers. And that's not what you want to do. You want to be going through key numbers of 3 and 7. I mean, that's an old school model. And the reason why the book changed their juice is because it works. And it's been working a lot this year. If you're teasing favorites down below a field goal, teasing certain underdogs up above a touchdown. Another thing that they're going to do is they're going to chase. So they may go 0-3 in the mornings, and the wise guys are going to go, all right, enough for today. I'm good. And they're going to go into the afternoon. Then they got to bet Sunday night. They got to bet Monday night. And, oh, what's looming around the corner? Thursday night football. Let me go ahead and add that to my money line parlay. So that's the problem. The recreational bettors lack discipline. And trust me, I'm not trying to sound like a hypocrite. It's taken me a long time to become disciplined.
Well, I got a friend of mine that always thinks he's going to outsmart Vegas. And I just let him know every time I go to Vegas, it's a new building. Okay, so they're not losing yeah. very often. And I work with him every day. So
yeah, that's me.
I notice he comes to work every day, so he's not winning very often like he think he is.
Just grinding it out. You know, I'm smart enough to not do money line parlays.
Yeah, I mean, listen, every time I see my dad and he's put money in the slot machine, he can't wait to tell me about the big slot ticket he hit, right? But I don't dare ask how much money it costs to go into that slot machine to win said big ticket.
All right, I just pulled it up. I am winning 55% of my NFL picks in this pool I'm in. So 55% is the number to stay profitable. That barely, but you're grinding it out. And then sometimes you bet more, sometimes you bet less. So this year so far has been going okay. The one thing I was really interested, Kelly, that you guys have going is the survivor pool for the college football playoffs specifically? Because that sounds awesome.
So this – The one that's coming up that ends on Friday at 8 p.m. when Alabama and Oklahoma kicks off is college football specific. I do a ton of stuff with these guys, so we're going to have more for the NFL coming up. We have tons of stuff for NBA. We'll get into baseball season. It's become year-round, and what I've really enjoyed most about doing these contests is you can put in a little to win a lot, right? Like I love the Vegas-based contest, and then these guys brought it more mainstream. They're available now in 40 states. So you don't just have to be in Vegas to, you know, at the Westgate Superbook or at Circa to get involved in some of these contests.
Yeah, that should be really cool. Who do you like to win it all in the college football playoff?
So back in late July, I do a show on Wager Talk called Bet On It. And back in late July, I said, man, who spent almost the most money this year in college football? Who's going to take the biggest step forward? And which conference is the most wide open? And I said, well, that's the Big 12, and that's Texas Tech. So I have this crazy 100-1 ticket for Texas Tech to win it all.
Oh, wow.
I don't think they're going to do so. Yeah, I know it's not for a lot. I just threw a flyer on it. I kind of wanted to go outside of the box. Everybody else on the show was giving out LSU at 14-1 and Clemson at 8-1, and I said that's no fun. I want somebody that's a long shot to win it, and I don't know if Texas Tech is going to be able to get it done. I do think that defense is really improved,
yeah.
And I'm excited to see them. You know, I went to Kansas State. They're technically a rival, if you will, but I am excited to actually cheer for that team. I do have a 10-1 ticket on Georgia. I did bet them after they lost to Alabama. What was that, about 6 weeks ago? I said, you know what? I think this Georgia team is going to be able to go deep into the playoffs. So those are the two tickets I'm holding. But listen, you never want to count out Ohio State and Ryan Day. I know that they kind of have shown some moments of just absolute unbeatableness until they played a little team named Indiana. Indiana's another team you don't want to count out. I think Kirk Cignetti as an underdog has been just absolutely epic since he was back at James Madison. So there's a lot of exciting matchups that I think we're going to see over the next few weeks, which is why this playoff survivor is going to be so fun. I personally am in three. They're $100 each. You can win $250,000. That is guaranteed money. So whether the contest fills or not, it doesn't matter. But I like to work it backwards. So in two out of the three, I put in Georgia, and one of them I put in Indiana. So I'm working them backwards because you gotta map out your path. And, you know, you get one wrong, and it's over. It's just like a traditional survivor.
That's cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. Kelly, we appreciate you making time for us. Good luck with the college football playoffs, and maybe we'll talk as the NFL playoffs heat up.
Yeah, I would love to. Thanks, guys.
All right.
I appreciate it.
That's Kelly Stewart. You can follow her at Kelly in Vegas on X and Instagram when we return.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The one and only Doc Walker joins the program. Uh-oh.
Another crazy stat from last night, B-Mitch. Since 1975, teams with 400-plus yards, no giveaways, no sacks taken, and getting three or more takeaways were 79-0. Now, yeah. After the Rams lost, it is now 79-1.
Yeah.
All right. All is quiet. All is bright for at least 1 week up in the city of brotherly love. B. Mitch, we're about to connect with your boys up there. Hugh and Joe, are they with us now?
Just keep getting the 5-yard, 4-yard, 6-yard.
Yeah, we got to get Jeff off.
Yeah, okay. Jeff, appreciate it. I know, I was just letting him finish his thought. I got you. All right, let's get to our crossover with our guys.
We have guests.
106.7 The Fan, Steve Saban, and B. Mitch, Brian Mitchell with us right now. Guys, how you doing?
B. Man, we doing good, but y'all got us coming on, and you're going to have some damn caller. Tell him to go.
Well, we did. We had him go. Yeah.
You gotta set it up properly, man.
Thanks to me.
Well, sometimes you control the phones. Hugh's been hanging up on people lately just because.
Hey, Hugh, tell me
about that?
Hugh, every once in a while when they start talking too much, just drop them off. Bam.
No, listen, let me tell you. Y'all think I'm bad? This guy we talking to right now?
In terms of petty?
Way worse than me.
More petty than you?
Way worse than me.
I don't believe that. I don't know.
If I know what I'm talking about and they don't, I'm not listening to them.
You know, the better trick is you put them on mute. And so they keep talking, and they don't know that they've been hung up on.
Oh, yeah, put them right on hold. It's one of my favorite tricks.
I do that a lot.
Wait a minute, are you on Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should see his Twitter feed.
He can't be as petty.
No, I don't really, like, I post stuff, but I don't go back
to. Engage?
I don't engage too often. If I do engage, it might go on all day. But I don't try to engage too often because most people on those things anyway, they're just trying to irritate you anyway.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
I do. But you know what my goal is this year?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to start reading Bible scriptures on the air, and I'm going to quit Twitter beef.
No one believes you.
Well, good luck on that.
You're telling lies on the air, I see.
Good luck on that.
B-Mitch, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf, man. I'm going to do better.
You know what, B-Mitch, is literally my quote on my Twitter feed? I ain't here to fight the whole internet today.
8.
That's a good one. Hugh, you should take that advice.
I'm trying.
Because Hugh will take on the whole internet.
Right, if you want, you can fight the whole internet.
Yeah. I'll try.
Any given
I'll
day.
Some days I wake up and I'm like, I'm here for this. And I'll go like a whole hour and a half and piss off everybody. Then I leave. They continue.
We cut from the same cloth.
Wake up feeling frisky.
Huh? Like, what happens is they just start talking and they start sitting all kind of stuff. And they don't realize, once I leave, I don't look at it ever again.
That's good.
Yeah, I go to the next section.
I'm kind of on that page. But, boy, when I look at it and they catch me on one of them days, oh, it's going down.
Yeah, then he comes in here. He's like, I'm turning over a new leaf today. No more. All right, guys, let's talk some football. We got tomorrow. And, look, when the schedule came out, I think you guys probably thought the same thing. These games were going to be super meaningful between these two teams coming off last year. Yeah. They're not for the Commanders. They are for the Eagles. All right. But let's just start here. What the heck happened to you guys this season? I mean, last year, we're in the title game against you guys. This year, it seems like it's just been a season from out. What happened?
It's you start getting injuries and all that stuff, and I know people they think that's an excuse, but once you start getting injuries, everything is thrown off. I think the whole chemistry got thrown off. Terry not coming into camp early. All that stuff messed up the offense. But you know what? You got to do better. And this year, it didn't happen for them. I think they got to get back to the little – they tried to go after it after going last year to the championship game, and they say, oh, we just add a few pieces. Well, it didn't work that way. You should have kept building. I think they need to get more of a base, and then they can move forward.
When you remember these games, B-Miss, what are some of the things that you remember fondly about playing against the Eagles when you were – back then it was another team, but the Commanders?
Well, the thing about it is I think – no matter what the records are, you can't say it. You can't
tell them again, B-Miss. Tell them again.
You can't relax on that because let's be real. I know players like to say, oh, man, we don't overlook anybody. That's a bunch of crap. You look down at a team that's not playing well and you know that you're a better team, you normally just slack somewhere along the way. And that other team knows if they can get up on you and make that pressure jump on you, it's hard as hell to just flip the switch in a football game. So if you're the favorite and you start messing around, have turnovers and things like that, and the game comes down to it, and that other team is winning, when you start pressing, you mess up. And I think that's one thing the Eagles don't want to have to do. Because, we've seen the offense turn the ball over sometime this year. Mm. Jalen has had his up and down moments. So what type of quarterback completely he is. He's won the Super Bowl. He's done some things. But there are games you look at and you go, what the hell is going on? Because he doesn't look like the Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, you want to talk about this rivalry? Here's something to trigger, Brian. Ready? November 12th, 1990.
Body bag.
Monday Night Football body bag game. 9 Redskin players left the game with injuries. And who finished the game under center? What's the last score in the box score? Mitchell, 1 yard run.
How about that?
28-14, the final score. Buddy Ryan had boasted before the game, we're going to beat him so bad, we're going to have to be carted off in body bags. And sure enough, that's what happened.
Came back later on and then won that game in the playoff, though.
A little reminder there. That one slide.
His petty runs deep.
Yeah, no, I can hear it.
Yeah. All right, listen, you know I was up there for 3 years, and everybody was like, man, you remember the body bag game? I'm like, there's another part to that whole story. They said, what do you mean? I said, the playoff. Oh, we don't want to talk about that.
we cut that story off right there. All right, guys, I want to come back to the Jalen thing in a second, your thoughts on him. But in terms of the Commanders, what you're seeing, because there's just two types of teams late in the season. We watched the Raiders here last week against the Eagles, I think that Raiders team is quit. I mean, they're just done. I didn't see it. They stink, I know that, but also I didn't feel like they wanted to be here. The Commanders, are they still playing hard for Dan Quinn? I know they won last week. What kind of effort do you expect out of them tomorrow? And they play 3 division games to end this. They play Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles to finish this thing.
They still playing for Dan. I think they really, really are trying to get it. Some teams, you're right. When the Raiders, they look like the old Cardinals back in the day. They already had their U-Hauls on the back of their truck. They're ready to go home.
Oh, that's bad.
But I believe that this team understands. And I think, young guys in football today, they don't understand a lot of the rivalries. But I think they understand the NFC East. And I think they're going to be ready to play. So if they're not, they will be embarrassed by the Eagles because they see that. But if they could come out there ready to play, and they're going to be given some opportunities, I believe, in this game. And it could be a tight one.
There's several teams that have become non-functional. The Raiders are one of them. You guys saw that last week. Mm-hmm. 75 yards of total offense. I think the game ended in, what, 2 hours and 40 minutes?
Yeah, it was one of the quickest games in the history of the NFL.
They're like, okay, we're done here. Let's move on. I don't get the sense that the Commanders are non-functional or that they've quit. But how do you explain, Mitch, the zero against Minnesota?
I can't.
Was that just everything just went wrong?
I was watching that game, and I'm serious. I thought I was living in, like, outer space or something.
I mean, they single-handedly
I can't answer that one.
They took the shock pedals to J.J. McCarthy's entire career and went, clear, and they brought him back to
life. I hope that's the only game they play like that the rest of the year.
I hope so, too. But it didn't look like they were quitting. They just sucked.
Yeah,
when I've watched them the last few weeks, I felt like that too. I don't think it's quitting because they played the Broncos tough. What was the last week in November?
Yeah.
I mean, the Broncos haven't lost in months, and that took a 2-point conversion to finish. So I think the Commanders are still playing hard. We'll see how it looks tomorrow.
You know what, though, Joe? Speaking of quitting, because I remember when I was in Atlanta, Marcus Mariota quit on the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, you said I'm out.
And he's
they were trying to screw him, though, man.
No, but I was watching Hard Knocks. And they're talking about he's playing well. What is he doing that's making him play as well as he's been playing lately?
I think he understands. He and Cliff works well together. He understands his offense. And I think he sees himself in a different way. He came here knowing he was a backup.
Mm-hmm.
He came in knowing he was going to be that guy that could get into the game if something happened to Jaden. And I think he's just embraced that. In Atlanta, they told him he was going to be the starter.
No, he was the starter, B-Mitch. Yeah,
I know.
They benched him for Desmond Ridder.
Wait a minute. I know what you're saying, B-Mitch, and you're right, but he had opportunities. Like, y'all, I was there. You need to go back. Like, he played horrible. And when they decided to bench him towards the end of the year, he got mad and left. He took his ball and went home.
Well, I can tell you, he took his ball, came here, and he ain't been quitting since.
So, I mean, I guess the change of scenery. I guess he ain't liking it in Atlanta. It was too dark for him. I don't know, man.
He's played well. He's had that one play like weekly. Mm-hmm. He'll play damn good football and he'll have one little hiccup.
Yeah.
And I think if he can stay away from the hiccup, he could do some good things on the field.
Man, because I'm looking at his stat line, 211 yards last week.
He's running a lot too. Yeah. I mean, he's run for like 40 or 50 yards a game recently.
He can still scoot.
Yeah.
He's like an older dude like I was and still can outrun him.
He is a decidedly
we ain't got to tell family business on there like that.
He is a very much non-awful QB2, and there's a lot of teams in this league that would kill for that kind of a guy.
Well, the Eagles had him here a couple years ago.
Non-awful QB2.
Teams have awful QB2s.
I know that sounds like an insult.
No, but I'm just saying. Most teams looking for a QB that's non-awful.
Let's talk about QB1. B-Mitch, you referenced Jalen Hurts earlier. I mean, we've been fighting about Jalen here all year, even though he is a Super Bowl champion, and he's obviously been an excellent Eagles quarterback in balance over the 5 years. But this year, I think, Bemis, there was a sense off the Super Bowl that was like a launching pad. Now he was going to be that kind of guy on most weeks, and that just hasn't been his season this year. He bounced back last week before that really rough 5-game stretch, which ended with that Chargers game on Monday night. When you watch Jalen, what do you see?
I see a guy. Well, I watched Jalen all the way back to college, and I've had a great respect for him because of how he handled the whole thing with Tua. You know, many guys would have been running away. He stood right there and hung in there. But I think, and Hugh and I played with Donovan. Donovan's my cousin, okay? Donovan had the mindset where he wanted to prove that he wasn't a running quarterback. And I think Jalen has a little bit of that in him, too. He can run the ball, but he refuses to do it at times when he could and just continue moving the chains, okay? I think he needs to utilize every bit of experience he has after this week, though. Every bit of ability he has. Because he can be the times when he'll go in these games, he'll have like 14, 15 passes. He's not doing well, but he won't have any rushing yards. He'll have a small amount. He can break a game wide open. And I know there's times when he's gotten hit, but hell, get 10 and get down. But I think he needs to utilize everything that he has in his arsenal against teams, and he'll be a much better quarterback.
Steve, what do you think of Jalen?
I look at him, and I just know from friends up there, and I listen to you guys when I'm going to visit Philly. I'll be up there tonight in Phoenixville, so I'll be tuning in to the whole lineup and all that. I feel like there's a similar arc to the way McNabb got to be up there, where he was objectively a really good quarterback, and yet the gripes kept piling up about things mm-hmm. that weren't quite as good as people wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about that you make about, you know, stigmatizing of like, I want to be a pocket passer. I'm more than just a running quarterback. It's the dumbest thing ever because there's so many plays where a simple run for a guy that's got some wheels moves the chains and completely affects the defense.
It's all that matters.
So I don't get that. I want to ask you guys about where is the A.J. Brown meter at the moment? Because I know there was that early stuff complaining about targets, and then more and more when I watch him, I'm like, dude, you should have caught that. Dude, you should have caught that. Where are they at on A.J. Brown?
The temperature was raised a couple weeks ago because that Monday night game against the Chargers when Jalen had all the turnovers, A.J. was partially responsible for that loss. I mean, he had a drop at the end in the end zone. They could have won the game. He dropped one off his hands that became an interception. He didn't play great that night, even though he had about 100 yards. So, yeah, I would say people have been frustrated with him. It feels like we're in a war. I mean, this kind of reminds us back to 20 years ago with the quarterback and the receiver, right? And I think at some point, guys, the Eagles are going to have to choose between keeping Jalen or keeping A.J. I mean, that time might come this offseason. Here, where do you think everyone is right now with A.J.?
You would keep the wide out over your quarterback?
Well, I wouldn't. I think the Eagles might.
I think people like the wide out. I mean, I don't know because I hear the players talk, B. Mitch, and then I see stories written. It's kind of hard to say because, you know, the media members, they're talking to somebody.
Somebody telling you something.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'm talking to the players, and the players don't have a problem with him. So I don't know. Like, it's one of those ones I don't know who to believe.
Yeah.
It's almost like half the fan base is like, stop talking, and half is like, hey, he's right. He's got a point. Something wrong with the offense in the passing game.
Yeah.
But if he's right,
he better catch the damn balls that's going through both
hands.
That's
it. Yes. If you're going to talk, you better make the plays. Guys, we appreciate you guys doing this.
All right,
have
man.
A great rest of your show, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right. Y'all take care.
There you go, brother. 106.7 The Fan.
All right. How about that? That was a wild statement that they may have to choose – between A.J. Brown or Jalen Hurts, I'm like, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
It makes no sense.
I'm like, point me to another time in the modern NFL that a team chose a wideout over a quarterback who is
I don't know if they did it, but you mentioned Donovan and N.T.O., the same type of situation happened.
Oh, maybe that's what they're going on.
And let's be real. The guy that seems to be a little brash and outlandish is the one that they're going to go along with. He matches their personality.
A.J. Brown, I thought, was older. He's only 28. But
he matches their personality just like T.O. matches their personality. Donovan and Jalen don't match the personality of the city.
All right. I will confess that I am a secret, and I was a secret T.O. stan back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love the way he played the game because even though he was a crying lunatic at times, and mm-hmm. a very high-maintenance diva wide receiver, that guy loved football.
Yeah.
And so I don't get the sense with A.J. Brown, the whole book thing in the sideline, the fact that he seems to look like he's quitting or not giving full effort at times now, which would really piss me off if I was an Eagle fan. I'm like, is he even trying out there? What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
To think that they would side with him over Hurts is kind of crazy, but you're right. I didn't think about that with McNabb and T.O., that they did kind of choose that. I would say, though, that's almost been 20 years ago now. I would say that the NFL has changed where you're not going to give up a QB1 that you can win with and won the Super Bowl with for just a wide receiver. I don't see it. Yeah. I don't know if there's any other comp.
I lean towards what you're saying in that.
In the last 10 years, I don't see anyone that's done that. But what's fascinating is we're going to have on the market next year a lot of low mileage, expensive used cars that have had engine trouble in the form of Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa, and there was a third guy that got...
I don't see a lot of interest being in Kyler Murray.
I didn't say a lot. I mean, these are flood-damaged vehicles that are nice BMWs that there's a big note on. There's a lot of money left on them that they got to get rid of. The Cardinals and the Dolphins know we got to shut these guys down so they don't get hurt because we need to exit them.
The thing about it, like, I look at the Kyler Murray thing, and when I met Kyler Murray at the Super Bowl or the draft, I'm like, this guy here is rather small.
He's tiny.
And
short.
That was a him and Cliff thing. Cliff liked him. and wanted to get him. And he had done a lot of stuff with him.
Yeah.
But, like, in this league, that guy right there has to do exceptional things to have clear passing lanes. And he has the ability to run around and do his stuff.
He is exciting as hell.
But once you start getting those little knee injuries and things like that, it starts to take away. Like, Bryce Young is now starting to get it, but Bryce Young is a pocket passing quarterback.
Right.
Doesn't run around a lot. And I thought he would have trouble early on because, hey, I'm just going to rush and get my hands up. I'm going to make you have to throw it a little higher off your release point, and it'll affect your whole game. And it did. Now you see where he's getting a little half rolls and things like that, and he's starting to get a little better. But Kyler, his secret weapon is his exceptional jitterbugness. Mm-hmm. He can move around and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's going to be able to move around like that. He's had injuries the last 2 years. So I don't know if the interest in him would be as high as it was early on.
I don't know either who would want to get into the Kyler Murray or Tua Tagovailoa business, because both guys I think are very flawed. But it's a quarterback hungry league, and somebody's going to take a flyer.
Yeah, they just pull a guy 44 years old off a couch to come in and play,
which is a joke.
So that says a lot. If I was a former quarterback, I'm getting ready now. I mean, if you're a guy who's just out the league, start working, man. You got a chance.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Jets pulled in Justin Fields thinking, he could be the guy. Nope. Mm-hmm. The Giants pulled in Russell Wilson going, he could be the guy. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is going to be the same thing with a bunch of guys who got paid well ahead of there being certainty that they were worth that much money, because that's what the league has become. If you don't have a quarterback, you are literally wandering in the desert.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
They put all that focus on the quarterback.
And by the way, if the Giants don't win again, and let's say the Titans and the Raiders somehow win a game, or the Giants win the tiebreaker, I got to go to tankathon.com to see who's currently in the number one spot. I would seriously, if I'm the Giants, think about taking another quarterback. If they think they're set with Jackson Dart, they're crazy.
Oh, they think so.
Then they're crazy. They are going to stay the Giants. And you know what? I hope they do think that, because that's good for us.
Jackson Dart is young B. Mitch. Nobody could tell me what I'm going to do.
Yes.
I'm serious. That's how I was when I was like young, 16 years old, 15. Don't do that. This is what I do.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't seem to want to learn. He better learn real quick.
Did you ever watch the Gruden quarterback camp interview with him?
Yeah.
And basically Jackson Dart, I want to be a +2 guy on every play. And Gruden's like, what is that? He goes, well, I want to get 2 more yards after contact. And Gruden looked at him like, are you a moron?
You're not a fullback, dude. And a fullback that does it all the time is going to have problems later on in life.
Right.
So let's be real.
Yeah, he's like, you're a quarterback. You don't need the +2. They need you to not be in the blue tent, which, by the way, he's been in for 50% of his games now in the pros.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Can we switch gears a bit, B. Mitch, and talk some college football in the next segment?
Yeah.
Because we got playoffs today. I feel like Jim Mora. Playoffs? Don't talk to me about playoffs. We got Alabama, Oklahoma tonight, 3 games tomorrow. And I'm going to dare to ask a blasphemous question, which is this round even necessary? We'll talk about it next. B. Mitch and Finley here on The Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar.
Get started at GoDaddy.com/arrow. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.